What's up, family? Y'all didn't even know I could beatbox, did you? Of course you didn't. Why would you know that? That's one of my many hidden talents. Yeah, I can beatbox. I can't hang with Dougie Fresh, right? He be doing stuff that I can't, you know, I can't do that. But when I was in middle school, I actually won a couple of beatbox contests. And, you know, because I was a little, it's so funny. I was a little scrawny kid, right? And, you know, I love the Fat Boys. And I was just learning how to beatbox, right? And this guy, this was eighth grade. This guy at the school, he was, you know, supposedly the beatbox king, right? And so he challenged me one day, and I forgot what period it was, but he challenged me in one of classes. Now, I hadn't been practicing like that, you know. So, and I wasn't practicing, honestly. Like, I wasn't practicing beatboxing to compete. I was practicing just like you learn the words of a song. That's what I was doing when I was beatboxing. So anyway, challenged me to a beatbox. Now, the only thing that I really know how, I could do some random beats, but then the only thing I really knew how to do was the Fat Boys. There's this break on the song they have called the Human Beatbox, right? And on the break, after the first lyric, however you say those things, you know, chord, whatever, after the first whatever, there's this beatbox break. And so I hit the guy with that. And I'm just doing what come to my mind. Like, I'm just doing. And the class went crazy. And, you know, he was embarrassed and the beatbox contest was over. And I was like, wow, okay, I guess I won. And so, you know, we did that a couple more times. Next time I was ready and, you know, I still won that. And then, you know, I think towards the end he may have won. But, I mean, it wasn't that important to me. But anyway, the point is, I know how to beatbox. Now, like I said, I can't hang with Dougie Fresh because he got that whole, like, I can't do that and rap that the whole clicking thing. I'm more of the you know, Fat Boys beatbox. Anyway, welcome to another episode of the Clifton Brantley podcast, and that would be me. I'm the man behind the curtain. I'm the man in front of the curtain and behind the curtain. Let me tell you what that means. God is working on your boy. Ooh wee! How many know when God is working on you, it don't feel good? when God is working on you, listen, you. But, you know, the thing that you know, or at least you need to have faith for, is that when God is working on you, though it may be painful, it is obviously for your good. Because, like, if you know it's God doing the work. Now, if you just think life is happening and God is just, you know, kind of letting it happen, well, you can find faith in that too, because God, whatever he allows, right, it's always going to work out for your good according to scripture. But I'm talking about the times when you know it's God that's shaking the room. It's God that's shaking your life. It's God that's shaking your tree, making all your apples fall to the ground. I don't know where they came from. But anyway, when you realize it's God, no matter how much it hurt, you can rest in the fact that he loves you more than anyone ever could, including yourself. He wants what's best for you, and he has a plan for you. And nothing can thwart his plan. So go through the pain. I know that's easy for me to say, right? But what I'm saying is I'm in the pain. I'm in the wilderness. But go through the pain, because on the other side, the Bible says that it was because of the joy that was set before him, Christ endured the cross, right? It wasn't the cross that he was excited about. As a matter of fact, in the garden, he said, Dad, if it's possible, can we like find another way? Like, you don't have any supernatural, like, actual sheep up there, like, but whatever, your will, not my will, right? So it wasn't the cross that he was excited about. The Bible says it was the joy that was set before him. He looked beyond the cross, right? God, you know, Jesus has a habit of looking, God has a habit of looking beyond, right? That's not what this episode is about, but he looked beyond the cross to the joy. Just like he looked beyond my faults and saw my needs. That's why he came. Now, I don't know if he came for you. I guess he hadn't if you hadn't accepted him. But he came for me, right? And I'm grateful. So anyway, let me get to what I want to talk about today. Man, let me tell you about this wilderness experience. So I am, and when I say wilderness, I am intentionally walking through a season of 40 days where, because I'm in a season of transition and change and, I'm not going to say destruction. I'm going to say change and rebuilding and all this stuff. And it feels like, you know, man, this is painful, but it's also good and it's growing. And so I said, you know what? June 1st to July 10th, I'm in the wilderness. So I'm taking 40 days to kind of do some things with me and God. But let me tell you, I didn't think about this before I just said this. Let me tell you what pushed me into the wilderness. Tell you what pushed me into the wilderness. And again, it's my own personal wilderness. I'm not saying the world is going through anything. But so a few weeks ago, I'm going to try to give you the short version. So a few weeks ago, I misunderstood something my wife said. And when I misunderstood it, I did not ask for clarity like I tell y'all to do. I didn't do that. Okay. And because I didn't do that, I made up my own mind about what it meant. Just like I say, if you don't ask clarity, if you don't ask questions, you're going to make it up, and you're going to make it up the worst that you possibly can. So anyway, I made up my own decision. And from that, I became angry. But not only did I become angry, I was pridefully angry, meaning I was angry and I knew I was angry and I didn't want to be unangry. Right. And so when it was time for us to talk, I knew that I showed up angry. Right. I didn't try to calm myself down. And I talked to her as if she was a stranger. Right. I talked to her as if I did not love her at all. Right. And I'm not exactly. I talk crazy to her, right? And on top of that, as if that were not bad enough, when I finished, I went to the garage, and I felt kind of good that I got that off my chest. Because I've been holding that in for a while, right? Got that off my chest. Oh, but then it didn't take much longer. I mean, it didn't take long at all for the Holy Spirit to show up in the garage. And I'm like, I can't enjoy my pride for a moment by myself. Holy Spirit is always coming up to convict you, right? Anyway, so Holy Spirit shows up and says, so that's how we talk to the people that we love? I didn't say anything. He says, that's how you talk to the woman you say you love? You've never loved anyone like this before? That's how you... And so, okay, so I talk to God. Then I go back in the house, and I apologize. And I know that she's hurt. Right. It would be impossible for her not to be hurt. Right. Because I know my wife and I know what hurts her. You know what I'm saying? So she's hurt. But I apologize. And it was a genuine apology. But, you know, I apologize. And I know I could see that she was still shook. And she said, OK, you know, and, you know. But the next day. Oh, man. The next day. When I thought back on the previous night and I replayed everything and I saw myself. I did not recognize the person that I saw. And the labels that I started to give myself were labels that I had heard my wife give me throughout the marriage. And so I said, wait a minute. Now, this is my first time recognizing this because that was just extreme over the top. Like, that's not me. I don't do that. It was butthole on a whole different level. Like, I don't do that. So when I'm looking at Tuesday, I call it Terrible Tuesday, by the way. So I'm looking at this Tuesday. I'm like, and I'm on Wednesday and I'm looking at Tuesday. I'm like, how did you do that? And I'm just confused. Right. And so then, I start thinking about what my wife has said. And so what I realized was, man, what if yesterday was a surprise to me, but for her, it really just looked like more of the same. And I said, if that's true, that explains so much in my relationship. And so from that Wednesday all the way until Saturday, I believe, God was just showing me things and just revealing things to me and just showing me how much I was in error of things that I was clueless about. Right. But let me pull it back, because that's actually not what I want to talk to you about. What I wanted to talk to you about is what the title says. You got to watch your words. Right. Because what I did on Terrible Tuesday. Here's the. So I don't know if you guys believe me when I talk about pride. Okay. Pride is dangerous. Pride is not something to be played with, because, see, I am aware of pride. I'm aware of the danger of pride. I'm aware how you can get caught up in pride. I'm aware that when you're walking in pride, you don't know it. I know all of that. And still, I keep finding myself walking in pride and I have no clue. And so I say that to say, You guys gotta stay looking in your spiritual mirror. You gotta stay looking in your spiritual mirror, because when you're walking in pride, you think you're going the right way and you're not, right? God used this situation with my words to show me how. Doc, you've been getting what you've been getting out of your wife because of your words and the way she'd been saying for the long, it's your delivery. But I always dismissed it. And the reason I dismissed it is because I know I'm not a mean person. Not recognizing I wasn't married to me. Right? Watch your words. Right? You can't just say any and everything that comes to your mind to your spouse. Now, I was talking about pride. So let me get back to that. So here's how prideful I was. Y'all ain't gonna believe this, because I don't believe it. So, I think yesterday or the day before yesterday, I was looking at some old videos because I wanted to put some things on YouTube. Came across this video called Barriers to Communication. I started watching it. I'm like, man, it's pretty good. It's not, I had never put it out publicly, right? I'm watching, I'm like, man, this is good. And as I continued to talk in this video that I made about, I think it was about a year and a half ago, maybe. I am talking directly against everything I did and said on Terrible Tuesday. And I am passionate about it. I mean it. I agree. When I was watching it, I was agreeing with it. Right. So here's my point. I knew that. I had that information. I knew how to handle anger, and I knew not to talk when you are angry. And I still, in the moment, allowed my anger to focus more on me than us. Found myself walking in pride, and I injured the person that I love. So what I'm sharing with you is, number one, keep your spiritual mirror up so you can walk, so you can check your pride. But you got to watch your words. Here's what, now, you know, this is a part of the After Church series, right? Let me tell you about this wasn't even a whooping. You know, the Bible says that God chastens those he loves. What I got yesterday, that was not no chastening. Yet. Has God ever put hands on you? And you like, Lord, that's too much. Like, you got a heavy hand, Lord. You got to switch a belt and a whip from Astroworld. You hit me with all. Wait a minute. That's what it felt like. Look. So yesterday, I go to church. I go to serve. I'm on the camera team, right? Media team. So I go to serve. I do my little thing. Bam, bam. You know, I sit down because during the sermon, and you know, I get to sit down. I sit down. And watch this. Pastor's not even there. It's a guest pastor. So he gets up and he starts teaching. Now, I'll be honest. I don't remember his topic. Because I don't know what I was doing. Like when he first get, or if he didn't give his topic up front, but he just started talking because he read the scripture. When he start reading the scripture, Proverbs 15. First of all, my eyes got watery, right? And then as he continued to talk, I couldn't hold it together. I cannot remember the last time something was so painful. Oh, my goodness. That sitting in there listening to the preacher, listening to God speak through this man of God directly to me about my behavior. And I was like, Lord, I already asked you to forgive me. I've already repented. Like, I got to get another whooping. But that's just conviction, right? That's all it is. But I wanted to read for you. I wanted to read Proverbs 15 because some of y'all might need this whooping that I got, you know. And it may not do anything for you. But put it in your pocket because you're going to need it in this life. How do I know? Because James says nobody can tame the tongue, right? He says no human can tame the tongue. So don't you be fooled in thinking that you can tame it. But guess who can? God. But guess what? God can tame the tongue, but he's not going to tame yours if you don't give him control over what you said he can have control over. That's your life. Okay? So this is Proverbs 15. I'm going to read verses 1 through 4a. Here we go. And this, so when he read this first verse, I was almost under the bench already. Yeah, okay, here we go. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Eyes started leaking. I'm like, wait. And then he said, you know, the tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth of fools pour out folly. Now, I'll be honest with you. I don't know if it was the Holy Spirit or the devil, but somebody shouted out fool in my ear. Y'all ain't hear what I'm saying. Then it says the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. Then verse 4 says a gentle tongue is a tree of life. Now, if you've been following me for a while, yeah, because I don't really have anything to hide. If you've been following me for a while, then you know that there's been at least one other time, maybe more than that, but at least one other time where I messed up as a husband. And I came on here and talked about it for the purpose of helping you guys. And, you know, you may say, dang, this brother ain't got it together. Do you have any mirrors in your house? Because I got mirrors in my house. And when I look in it, I see me. That means I'm a human being. That's not an excuse. I'm just telling you, don't be putting me on a pedestal. I'm trying to help you, but don't think I got it all together. Trust and believe. I do not. So yesterday at church, God worked on me. So it was the reason I'm in the wilderness is because that terrible Tuesday. And like, if I can do that, I don't ever want to be that person again. Right. And if I know I'm capable of doing that, I know I can't do that if I'm walking in the Spirit. Because Spirit wouldn't allow me. So I had to be walking in the flesh. So if I'm capable of doing that while Clifton is being in the flesh, I don't want to. No, Lord, I surrender all. Surrender, submit, pick one, whatever you want to say it. Listen, I'm giving it. If I thought that I had already given God everything, obviously I had not. Still a little bit of idolatry in there. Still obviously some pride in there. And no, so I'm on this thing like, Lord, I'm going into the wilderness, because every time I see somebody come out of the wilderness, it's another level, right? The promised land, Jesus and his ministry. And I'm not, you know, this is not me trying to force God's hand to bless me. Y'all know God don't do that, right? But I'm just saying, I believe God is going to do something in me in these 40 days that I hadn't seen before. However, I came on here today to tell you, you need to watch what you say, because your words can crush a person. And watch this. You don't know. You think you know everything about your spouse. I'm telling you, you don't. You don't know what magic word that you can say flippantly that'll send them to a place where they can't come back. You don't know what that is. You think you do, but guess who knows for sure? Satan. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he knows what it is. And if you're not going to walk in the Spirit, if you're not going to follow the rules of engagement, Clifton, if you're not going to follow your own doggone rules, then you're going to find yourself susceptible to the enemy's manipulation. And then there you go, walking in pride, injuring the person you say you love. while teaching something different than what you did. Now, notice I said teaching something different than what I did, not what I do, because I do preach. I do practice what I preach. I just ain't perfect at it. Right. So, but what that showed me is I got more work to do. But I want you to really embrace. Listen, really embrace. I forgot the scripture where it was. I've read it before, but. So after a while, after God whooped me for a little while yesterday, and then after you get whooping, then you just sit there on the bed and you just cry and you're thinking about stuff and it's calmed down. I'm thinking I'm finna go back out in sanctuary, and then the preacher hit me with the scripture that says you're gonna have to answer for every idle word you utter. It's like Jesus came back in and punched me in the jaw. Now I'm making this up. Like God don't abuse us, right? I'm just talking about the pain. Now, okay, so let me get some context, because I don't know what kind of believers I'm watching and that's listening to me. Maybe some new Christians, right? So when I'm talking about this violence that God is giving me, it's not really that, right? The pain that I felt yesterday, the deep pain, was less about the conviction and more about what's going on inside of me, right? My desire to please God and knowing how bad I messed up and knowing how, like, if I had been walking in the spirit, and I'm not talking about in that moment, I'm just talking about more submitted to Christ in general, right? So I was hurting because of that and because God was doing so much, right? I want to make that clear in case there's, somebody who's listening and, you're not church-eyes and like this brother, I don't want to know that God. I don't want to do that. Okay. So anyway, he came in and punched me in the jaw. Right. And yeah, so, I don't expect, I don't expect you to, feel and respond to Proverbs 15 the way that I did yesterday. But what I'm saying is that doesn't change the truth of the scripture. You got to watch your words, fellas. When your woman is on the crazy train, you're not going to get her off by getting on there with her with your words. Ladies, if you want your man to come close to you, I can promise you he's not coming close while you're criticizing him. He's not going to come close while you're putting him down for what he did, even though he did it. He's not coming close. Okay? Yeah. The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Here's what that means. While we were still his enemy, he came to us. So how much more then when your partner feels like an enemy? Can you go to, and he came to us to rescue us. He didn't come to punish us. Jesus did not show up to earth to be born in a manger to punish us. No, he came to save us. He came to rescue us. He came to give us hope. He came to give us a future, right? He came to empower us. So you then, when your partner is acting like your enemy, I believe the godly thing would be for you to go after them, not to punish them or to get them correct, but to show them your love, to show them how much they are loved, to show, Doc, this preaching to me, to show them that they are loved by you, to save them from themselves, right? That's why you would do that. As a matter of fact, I had this thought, and then I'm going to let y'all go, right? I'm going to let y'all go like we in church. I'm going to let y'all go down from this place. So I had a thought the other day. Check this out. People be saying, they want a godly relationship. Think about this for a second. Every 100% of the relationships that God is in, except for the one with himself, they're all lopsided. Did you hear what I... Listen, every relationship that God is in is lopsided. And every relationship that God is in is godly, right? For a relationship to be godly, God has to be in it, right? Okay, so every relationship that God is in, it's lopsided. Now, I'm not saying that means you need to go out and look for lopsided relationships. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is, if you are a believer and you find yourself in a lopsided marriage, it might be godly because whoever is the more godly one is loving the one who is less godly the way Christ loved me when I'm less godly. Y'all got that? Yeah. So don't think that your relationship isn't quote unquote godly because you feel like it's lopsided. Maybe God requires more out of you to love on them. Maybe he wants to do something different for you. You know, the thing that I'm learning, and this is just, what's today? This is just day 9 in the wilderness. And what I've already learned is we got to take God out of this box. The only box that God needs to be in is the Bible, which is limitless. Yeah. If you really grasp it, right, you have to take God out of your limited box, like your limited mindset, your limited view of who he can be for you, because your limited view is going to limit your faith. And then that's going to limit the God that you get to experience. It's not going to limit who he is. It's going to limit who you experience. I hope this was helpful for y'all. It was helpful for me. I'll catch y'all next time.